and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Now we know as children of God that we've been given the inspiration and instruction of evangelizing this world. In other words, evangelizing people. The Bible tells us that we've been given the power to do that. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And we've discussed this before. As the Holy Ghost comes upon those individuals who have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, so we have the power to be personal evangelists. But who is the person we are evangelizing for? Well, we know that this time of year we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. He is the one who came, and he is the one to whom we are to evangelize for. And he is a person, and that is personal evangelism, when we evangelize for him.
Right now, I'd like for us to look at the birth of Jesus Christ. You know, the Jews have always been a stiff-necked people. They turned their back on God many times, as we read in the Word of God. But when I say they were a stiff-necked people, so are Gentiles. So have we turned our back on God so many times in our lives. And people today are turning their backs on God, upon His Son, Jesus Christ. So when I say people are stiff-necked, that means they're hard-headed. They simply do not want to listen to what God has to say. But the Jews, all through the Word of God, kept refusing to believe what God said in His Word. As we look back, even in the Old Testament, the Jews were not looking for a Savior even then. The Jews were looking for a king. The Jews continued in their unbelief, and we read about that in the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And then we look in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus Christ is God. Well, during Christ's ministry on this earth, the Jews did not believe what he said, so he said this. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 29, "And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, 'This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet.'" Well, what about the sign of Jonas? Of course, that is speaking of Jonah. In Jonah chapter 1 verse 17, it says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Well, as Jonah, or Jonas, was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish and came out, so the body of Christ would be 3 days and three nights buried and then come out alive. When the prophecy of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ was prophesied of before he was even born. And people still refuse to believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, of mankind, if they would only trust Him. Well, the time of Christ's birth seems to have been like this. As we look back and we look at the journey that Mary and Joseph had to go on before the birth of Christ, we see they came from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And as we look at a map, or as you look at a map, the 70-mile journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem would probably have been too difficult for Mary in the winter. This would be in December. So a more probable time of the journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem would be late September, the time of the annual Feast of Tabernacles. Well, the conception of Christ, some believe, may have even taken place in late December of the year preceding Christ's birth. And this is not a certainty, of course. But our Christmas celebration in December may well be recognized as an honored observation of the incarnation of the Word made flesh. John chapter 1, verse 14. What I'm saying is this: it doesn't make any difference when we celebrate the birth of Christ. We celebrate His birth. We celebrate that He came into this world to seek and to save those who were lost. And that is the important thing for all of us to remember. Jesus Christ did come into the world to seek and to save. Well, what about the place where Jesus was born? Of course, by reading the Word of God, we know that He was born in Bethlehem. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall He come forth unto me, that is, to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." And then we look in Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 7, and it talks about the birth. And Joseph, it says, also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And of course, that is Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. Well, after the birth, after Christ's birth, Christ was laid in a manger, according to Luke chapter 2 and verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Well, what about the manner of the birth of Christ? Well, the conception of Christ by Mary was supernatural. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." And let me say that as we read this next verse, some translations or some commentaries of the Word of God try to tell you that Mary was simply a young girl, that she wasn't a virgin, that she was simply a young girl. But the Bible teaches us that she was a virgin. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So many people are confused and they don't understand when they read certain translations or commentaries of the Bible. They do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, because man has corrupted the Word of God by saying that a young woman would conceive. No, the Bible says that a virgin would be with child. Well, what about witnesses to the birth? Do we know of anyone who saw, or were there any people there who saw Jesus Christ at his birth? And what about people after the birth? Did anyone witness Jesus Christ on this earth? Well, of course, Mary and Joseph were witnesses to the birth of Christ. They were there. In Luke chapter 2 and verses 15 and 16, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go into Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger." We also read that in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 14, it says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you: you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Well, of course, Mary and Joseph were there, and as we just read, the shepherds were there as well. They were witnesses of the birth of Christ. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." And of course, the angels, the angel of the Lord, told them about the birth of Jesus Christ. And the shepherds went, and they saw for themselves Jesus Christ in the flesh. But an old man by the name of Simeon, the son of Jacob, gave witness to Christ as the salvation of God. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 32, it says this, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus," now this was after Christ was born, this is when he was being dedicated, "and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people, Israel.'" And of course, we go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 49 and verse 18. It says, "I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord." In that verse, Genesis 49, 18, this is the first mention of the word salvation in the Bible. And the Hebrew word, this is interesting, the Hebrew word Yeshua is actually the same as the name Jesus. Where there are only three adjectives used in the New Testament to describe our salvation. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, it's so great salvation. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, it is eternal salvation. And in Jude 3, it's the common salvation. Jesus Christ, salvation to those who will trust Him as Savior. Well, not only did the people and the angels that I've mentioned bear witness to Jesus Christ coming into this world, and there were other ones as well, but God the Father gave witness to the birth of Christ. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 22, the Bible says, "And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, 'Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Luke 9:35, "And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, hear him.'" 2 Peter 1:17, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Well, there are many prophecies concerning the birth of Christ and the coming of Christ. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verses Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 through 8, it talks there about the righteous branch. He would be the righteous branch. And in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it says he would have a kingdom. We also see that according to 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 16, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, that Christ would reign on the throne of David. He would also rule the nations with a rod of iron. His reign was to be glorious, according to Psalm 72, Isaiah 2, verses 1 through 4. Now today, my question to you is, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? If not, you need to receive Him right now. Ask Him to come into your heart. "Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin and come into my heart. I receive You as my Savior."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.